97.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark, and that is Carl Middleman, the only two of us in the studio this morning. We had Kim St. Ange will be back tomorrow, we have confirmed, and Scott Jagow was supposed to be in with us this morning, but there was an illness, and he got pulled away to cover for someone else. So he's helping us out with newscasts, but he's not actually in here in the studio with us for the full hour. So you'll be staring at me and Carl Middleman. Ethan will be in for In Other News coming up here at 6:48. We'll do that. Senator Eric Schmidt is going to be joining me at 7:08 because we asked him yesterday. I saw him tweet out a picture with RFK Jr. His nomination hearing gets underway this morning. That should be interesting. Tulsi Gabbard this week as well. Cash Patel, apparently. I think both of those start tomorrow. So we're going to get an update from Senator Schmidt on where things stand. Can't wait to talk to him about the outrageous idea of freezing spending while the administration looks at what's necessary and what's not. The left is melting down. They funneled all of this money into the pipeline for their little favorite NGO somewhere, and now they're freaking out and trying to claim that people on Medicaid aren't going to get their services paid for. It's the biggest bunch of garbage you've ever heard in your life. There's not a shred of truth to any of it. The Medicaid site went down separately from this decision yesterday, and everybody freaked out and thought they weren't going to get their check. And it's got nothing to do with that. It's about wasting billions of dollars that we send overseas in most cases, some domestically. But a lot of it is just wasteful spending that goes overseas to for purchasing condoms and paying for drag shows and comic books that are inappropriate. Why are we funding foreign comic books? Can somebody please make sense of it for me? I can't. I just can't. I've decided that is beyond me for sure. By the way, welcome in. And if you missed any segment of the show this morning, let's say, for example, you can't be here in an hour when we have Senator Schmidt on, you can always download the podcast. That's easy. We podcast each segment for you so you can find it easily at 971talk.com or on the Odyssey app. Or wherever you download your podcast, you can find the Mark Cox Morning Show, and we do appreciate that. So we'll get to all that and more for you. Todd Pyro as well in the next hour. But first, Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws and therefore they are criminals.
Can you just tell us?
That was one of my favorite lines yesterday by Caroline Levitt in the press briefing room. The reporter, can you explain to us if you're just getting the criminals or are you getting other people? They're all criminals. They all kicked in our front door and camped in our living room.
Let me say that when we say everyone deserves to be safe during this recovery, we mean everyone.
Yeah, this is a rabbi who was at a news conference with the mayor of L.A. talking about the recovery efforts out there, right? They started off the unity meeting by firing shots at Donald Trump. And my suggestion is this will not end well for them.
St. Louis is a welcoming city, as evidenced by our establishment of the Office of New Americans to connect resettling people from all over the world who are choosing St. Louis as their home.
UNA. Donald Trump has MAGA, and Mayor Tishara Jones has UNA, the Office of New Americans, but they're not if they're here illegally, Mayor Tish.
But I've directed the Missouri Department of Revenue to work with my staff on a sustainable and comprehensive plan to eliminate the individual income tax once and for all.
There you have it. Mike Kehoe addressing the legislature yesterday, talking about some of his legislative priorities. I mean, I was glad to hear it. He was right up front on it, too, talking about the fact that, among other things, he wants to get rid of the state income tax. Can you imagine how difficult that is going to be? And it's not something where you can just say that we're going to end it on December 31st of 2026 or 2025. You're going to have to phase it out. But Man, that is good news. I did not ever hear Mike Parson say that. I don't know about you. And you know that when the election came around, I was pushing for Bill Igel because I thought there would be more dramatic change under an Igel administration. I will continue to believe that till I'm proven otherwise. But Mike Kehoe is off to a good start here if he's leading his administration with that and also leading it with the fact that that he wants to get rid of the local control of the St. Louis Police Department. That's a big deal. That's a win for the men and women in blue in the city of St. Louis, because they don't have to go through the bureaucracy and the vacuum of politics that exists at the Board of Aldermen for funding for positions. There will be minimum staffing requirements if the state takes this back over again. And the city doesn't want that because they don't want to be told how to spend their money when it comes to law enforcement. And what they do, in effect, is defund the police department. When you eliminate 112 or 115 positions and you claim you're only doing that so you can take that money and give everybody else a raise, what you're doing is defunding the police. They get a couple more lunches each week out of their paycheck, and you've defunded the police, because when it comes to restaffing, they don't have as many positions as they had before. So they're all working overtime. They're all working second shifts. Here's some more of what Mike Kehoe talked about yesterday, particularly when it came to some of his other priorities.
Before becoming governor, I promised Missourians I would take action on crime as soon as my hand left the Bible on Inauguration Day. And we did just that, signing 6 executive orders that were developed based on input from law enforcement to launch our Safer Missouri initiative. From organizing regional efforts to arrest dangerous fugitives, to charging our state troopers to work with the Trump administration and our federal partners on an effort to crack down on illegal immigration, to establishing a statewide program that encourages communities to support law enforcement. As I've said before, in the coming weeks, months, and years, our administration will be relentless in our pursuit to make Missouri a place where it's easier to be a cop than a criminal.
Nice. All right. I like the tone of it. Let's put it that way. We'll see what ends up happening when the same group of people who were involved in Senate leadership and gummed up the works last year, let's see if they do that again this year. We'll try to give them a little benefit of the doubt, and then we'll see what happens by May. I'll believe it when I see it. How about that? Coming up, Nicole Ambrose is going to join us. She's a former National Young Republican chair and was a GOP committee woman as well. We're going to talk about the truth about the freeze that Donald Trump announced on grants yesterday and who it really affects. We'll be back.
1FM Talk Podcast.
Can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws, and therefore they are criminals, as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, so it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal, but that's exactly what they are.
Yeah, Caroline Leavitt. A round of applause for Caroline. Boy, I loved what she did yesterday. I heard Peter Ducey talking about her this morning, saying, you know, I wasn't in there yesterday, but watching it, you know, the for her first news conference, she did great. Plus, the media has got to get used to how to deal with her, how to approach her. They also have to get used to somebody who doesn't need a binder in front of them with color-coded tabs on it telling them how to respond. And you know the same staffers that were making the policies for Joe Biden were providing that for her, so she didn't have to guess. I mean, it's really pathetic. She had a great time in there with them yesterday, and she kind of set him up when she walked in the room. This is what she said to the media. Go to cut 6.
Since you brought up Truth Seek, I would like to point out, while I vow to provide the truth from this podium, we ask that all of you in this room hold yourselves to that same standard. We know for a fact there have been lies that have been pushed by many legacy media outlets in this country about this president, about his family, and we will not accept that. We will call you out when we feel that your reporting is wrong or there is misinformation about this White House. So, yes, I will hold myself to the truth, and I expect everyone in this room to do the same.
Yeah. Thank you, Caroline. Well done. A master class yesterday by, what, a 27-year-old young woman who's clearly wise beyond her years and has learned from the very best on how to handle the mainstream media. I mean, she was fantastic. Go to cut eight, in fact, Carl, for people that didn't hear this. She's talking about them freaking out about a freeze on spending. Well, we're talking about grants and stuff that are going out overseas. Listen to cut eight.
DOGE and OMB have actually found that there was $37 million that was about to go out the door to the World Health Organization, which is an organization, as you all know, that President Trump, with the swipe of his pen and that executive order, is no longer wants the United States to be a part of. So that wouldn't be in line with the president's agenda. DOGE and OMB also found that there was about to be $50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza. That is a preposterous waste of taxpayer money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for limiting the population in Gaza. Unfortunately, that's not what they were going to use the condoms for. Let's get to Nikkoli Ambrose here, former National Young Republican Chair, National GOP committee woman there from the state of Maryland. Nikkoli, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
Could you believe the meltdown yesterday by the establishment, many of them Republicans, too, who freaked out that their little pet projects might not get funded because of this freeze?
Oh, it was beautiful. The left was having a collective litter of kittens. I loved it. You know, and I have to tell you, I used to be a Republican presidential appointee back in the day. I handled these like management and budget and HR issues, and this is so long overdue. We've never seen something like this happen, at least not in our lifetimes, and I love it. We spend $10 trillion a year, and $3 trillion of this goes to different grants and Lord knows what, and it absolutely is critical that we review this funding. Critical.
I've listened to Rand Paul talk about it before and some of the ridiculous things, and I would scratch my head and say, well, why doesn't somebody do something about that?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And with this little memo, this is a 2-page memo that set the Washington press corps on fire, right? Okay. And it came from the Office of Management and Budget. It's kind of the budget arm of the president's executive office, okay? And they do other things too, but that's the main thing. And they're supposed to make sure agencies perform well, you know, are in line with the president's goals. And in the sentence was a temporary pause, right? And that's what Caroline Leavitt kept saying in that press conference, pause, to quote, all activities related to obligation or disbursement of all federal financial assistance. But it goes on to say that this will not affect individual benefits or payments, such as Social Security, food stamps, Medicare, you know, payments directly to people. And so the left is refusing to believe that. The leftist media is trying to get people ginned up. And once again, don't we want to see where at least $3 trillion of that money is going? Is it being flushed down the toilet like those $50 million worth of condoms to Gaza or that $37 million we were about to give the World Health Organization to not hold China's feet to the fire when they try to kill us in a global pandemic? But let's focus on COVID for a second.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Nikkoli, I was thinking about this yesterday. It's an old playbook. They always go back to it. Remember when Debbie Wasserman Schultz was head of the DNC? And anytime there was a suggestion to decrease the planned increase in spending for the next year, she would claim that old people would be starving and have to eat dog food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's talk about, for example, COVID and gain of function research, right? Let's drill down on that for just one second. So they announced at the end of last week, they were also going to review NIH funding. Remember, we had previously covered on these Fox interviews, Anthony Fauci and his special assistant who testified before Congress that Anthony Fauci made him fast-track money to NGOs to fund gain-of-function research, where that money was then sent to China and specifically the Wuhan Lab of Virology to help give us all a worldwide global pandemic. Do we need to be funding any more of that? And certainly we do not need that in the Trump administration.
No, we do not. And then thank goodness. I think it'll survive the court challenge, too. Nicolay, thank you for your time.
Great chatting.
All right. Thank you for being with us this morning. We appreciate it. Coming up, we'll get you a check of business with Nicole Murray in other news at about 6:45. We'll be back. All right. Sorry, I got to play this morning for just a second. As you know, Scott Jagow is not in the room, and he's not here for me to complain to him directly about it. But he failed to mention in the sports report that the University of Kentucky went on the road last night in the SEC and beat the Tennessee Volunteers, just so you know. Big win. They're higher. They rated in the top five, I think, and we beat them at home last night. It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Carl's like, who cares?
What did they do over the weekend, Mark?
I can't wait. Well, I mean, they lost over the weekend, but Tennessee's lost like three in a row now. So the SEC is a battleground this year. They got more top 20 teams from the SEC than anybody else in the top 20. And they're just beating each other up.
And they can't consistently win.
I know.
They all beat the hell out of each other.
I know. And it's bad news for teams like Mizzou. Mizzou's got a great team, a good team at least, if not great. And they've gotten a couple of big wins, but they've got to go into all these home courts too and play. And everybody's so evenly matched. It's just, I love college basketball. I just have to tell you that. And I particularly love that because I'm not a big fan of the Tennessee Volunteers. So there you have it. All right, let's get to business, please. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm cranky.
Are you really? I'm sorry. Are you not a Tennessee fan? Are you? Did I just offend you?
No, it's just one of those days. So not in the mood for life. You know what I mean?
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll perk up. I'll have some coffee. We'll get through it.
It's Wednesday. We're halfway to the weekend. I mean, come on. What else can I do to cheer you up?
A nice mimosa would be lovely.
Yeah. We've got desk bourbon, but we can't get it to you because you're in Jersey and we're here, so.
Breaking my heart.
What's going on in the business world?
All right. Futures are moderately higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 136. The NASDAQ up 391. The S&P 500 up 55. Paddle Up Pickleball Club is slated to open a new location in Chesterfield this summer at 23,000 square feet. The new facility will have 6 indoor courts, equipment rentals, professional coaching, organized leagues, and tournaments. Boeing has reported a loss of over $11.8 billion in 2024 following a nearly two-month machinist strike and other problems that have plagued the manufacturer. Boeing President and CEO Kelly Ortberg, however, said the company is working to stabilize the business, overcome the challenges of 2024, and ramp up aircraft production in the new year. The average contract interest rate for 30-year mortgages remained unchanged last week at 7.02%. That's according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Applications to refinance a home loan dropped 7% for the week and were 5% higher than the same week 1 year ago. Applications for a mortgage to purchase a home dropped 0.4% from 1 week earlier and were 7% lower than the same week 1 year ago. The cost of a cup of joe is on the rise at coffee shops. Contributing factors include stress in growing regions in Asia, South America, Central America, and Africa, along with rising shipping costs and ongoing demand for coffee. Colombian beans have jumped in wholesale price from $2.10 per pound in October of 2023 to $3.06 per pound in November of 2024. The Trump administration is demanding civilian federal workers return to the office full time or accept an 8-month buyout offer to quit to drastically shrink the size of the government. Federal employees have until February 6th to decide whether to take part. The White House expects up to 10% of federal employees to take the buyout. That's according to NBC News. And finally, Japanese company Palia Incorporated is making headlines for a new policy. It is giving employees who don't smoke an extra 6 vacation days per year as a reward for the time they save by not taking cigarette breaks.
Wow. So, I mean, you could technically vape and they wouldn't know the difference. I'm trying to think here how you could get around that.
I feel like people would see the smoke in office. And if you're outside all the time, you know, I don't know if that's the best way to work around it.
Well, I mean, it just, so here's the thing. Like, I know that with our company health insurance plan a couple years ago, and when we first signed up for it, you had to state that you did not smoke. And if you stated that, then you got a discount of some sort. And I have to wonder how many people stated that, but they smoke anyway because they wanted the discount. And how does the company prove otherwise? I don't know the answer
really
to
sure,
that. I'm not suggesting my coworkers are being are lying, but I would suggest that you could, because there's no way to prove it. And if I'm getting an extra day off, I'm thinking, wow, yeah, sure, I don't smoke.
There's ways to prove it. I'm sure there's security cameras. You smell like smoke.
You unless you vape. I mean, the vapors don't necessarily. My son told me when he was in high school that routinely kids would bring their vapes into class, and they would keep it in their shirt sleeve, and they would blow the steam back up into their shirt sleeve so that it didn't filter up into the air, right? Just steam.
Get out of here.
And a lot of them got away with vaping right in the classroom as a result of that, right? They were willing to risk it. Because
it's wild.
It's a nicotine delivery system. That's all it is.
Oh, that is wild. All right, maybe they can get away with it.
I wonder.
For all we know.
I have a lot of people getting
vaping right next to you.
Extra time off. What was the name of that company again that's doing that?
Palia Incorporated.
Ah, trying to start a trend, are they? Trying to be trendsetters.
I mean, whatever gets me more PTO.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. That's funny. Hey, Nicole, I hope you have a better Wednesday. I hope the rest of your Wednesday is better.
You've perked me up, I must say.
I'm glad to hear that. Anything we can do. We'll talk to you Friday.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you. And she'll be in a much better mood Friday because it'll be Friday.
Yeah.
Right?
Hopefully.
And there's nowhere to go but up. There's nowhere to go but up. So, what is Carl? What is the one thing that, as a married man, you know that you should never, ever, ever say to Nicole?
Oh, there are so many.
I just off the top of mind.
You look. No.
Calm down.
Oh yeah, don't say that.
No, relax. Scott Jennings came very close to saying that on the CNN panel yesterday.
Ooh.
Those words did not come out of his mouth, but he had just been lectured by some former Obama administration person from the administration about how groundbreakingly horrible these cuts were to Americans, this freeze, and how people's babies could starve that are on Medicaid because they're not going to get their funds, even though they made it very clear it didn't affect Medicaid or anything else for that matter. And she just absolutely mansplained it to him. And it took every fiber in his body not to say, you need to relax after lecturing me about that. Listen to this.
A few thoughts on this. Number one, I assume when this all happened, it would get sorted out in court. That's obviously processes underway. Not uncommon. Joe Biden had to have a few things sorted out in court, too. Pretty common thing. Number two, I didn't realize we were but 12 hours from full societal collapse after one government decision. I had no idea, but I appreciate the briefing. Number three, I think the American people are appalled at the amount of money that goes out the door every year. And it seems to be on autopilot, and it seems to be without political oversight. And I do think one of the lessons from the election was, can we get a little bit of political oversight over the unelected bureaucracy? And that is what they are attempting to do. Do I ultimately believe a lot of this is going to be walked back? Yes. Do I think members of Congress are going to draw attention to things that are quite necessary and quite useful? Absolutely. Will it take a few days to iron out? More than likely. But I do think there's a little bit of overreaction on the left today because Donald Trump and his people decided to exercise a little bit of political oversight, which I think the American people want.
Yeah, thank you. I think there's just a little bit of overreaction. Thank you for schooling me on that. Thank you for lecturing me
Please
on that.
Please calm down.
Please calm down. He didn't say it. And man, as soon as that bite was over, I wish I could have let it play longer. It was already like a minute and 10 seconds. She lit into him again for another 45 seconds, explaining to him how dumb he was for not understanding that it was important to send LGBTQ comic books to foreign countries because we need to educate them. It is not the business, certainly, of the American government and the American taxpayer to fund things like that in foreign countries. We've been pointing this out for years. if the Trump administration is able to erase all that, now, you know, heaven forbid in 2028, some new Democrat comes on the scene and gets swept into office as a president, they're going to restart all that progressive garbage. But for now, we have an opportunity for the next 4 years to stop wasting all that government money. You know what we could do with $3 trillion we've been sending overseas? I got an idea. Send part of it to North Carolina and the other part of it to L.A. and let them help start to rebuild these communities. Well, why are we sending our money overseas? Somebody explain that to me. I don't know. I just don't get it at all. All right, coming up. We got In Other News with Ethan here in a couple of minutes. Next hour, top of the hour, in fact, about 7:08, United States Senator Eric Schmidt is going to join us on the program to talk about the RFK nomination hearings and maybe this meltdown over a spending freeze. We'll be back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
The first round of performers for the 67th Annual Grammy Awards have been announced. It's going to include Billie Eilish, Chappell Roan, Charlie XCX, looks like Sabrina Carpenter, Shakira, and Teddy Swims.
They're all Mark's all favorites.
Darn, I'm going to have to miss that, Sue. How about you?
Some of those I like.
Mark, you got to admit you like that Teddy Swims song right there.
I was grooving in here. Did you see me grooving?
That was the number one song last year.
It wasn't bad.
He has a great voice.
Ever pay to listen to it. Yeah.
The ceremony is going to be hosted by Trevor Noah and will air live from the Crypto.com arena in Los Angeles.
That's what Mark wants to see. Trevor Noah.
February 2nd.
He was funny when he first started. Trevor was. And he guys, he got burnt out, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think he was ever funny.
You didn't think he was ever funny?
Anything that I thought, oh, that is hysterical. I just thought he was not at all funny.
Well, according to the ratings, you were correct.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his ratings sucked.
Moving on. Anthony Mackie is facing online backlash after stating at a Captain America Brave New World press event that Captain America shouldn't solely represent America, but rather values like honor and integrity. His comments sparked criticism from fans on social media, with some questioning his perspective on the patriotic superhero. Now, if you want to know what he said, for me, Captain America represents a lot of different things, and I don't think the term, you know, America should be one of those representations.
Yes, he did say that.
So,
what he did claim was, and I'll play the bite for you because I started to pull it earlier and then I didn't put it in the file. What he basically said was Captain America should represent taking people back to a time like in your childhood where you'd look out the door and there'd be a little kid out there with a stick fighting dragons. And in that kid's mind, that was really a sword and there were really dragons until somebody came along and told him, that's not a sword, and there aren't any dragons, and they blew up his whole little world. I hope Captain America takes you back to those times when people believed in something. So that's basically what
he said. So what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing except that he's Captain America.
Right. You can't.
America. You can't say has nothing to do with America. America is about achieving your dreams. Come on. Give me a break. That was dumb. That was an unforced error on his part, I think.
And the guys at Disney are probably panicking because this movie has been set back for, what, like a year now? And it's finally getting ready to release, and here he goes.
It's coming out in 2 weeks.
It just throws us out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill Burr's upset with Howie Mandel for ambushing him with Billy Corgan during a podcast interview. Mandel framed it as a family reunion since Corgan once speculated that Burr might be his half-brother. Burr was visibly annoyed during the interview and later confirmed on the Rich Eisen show that he did not appreciate the stunt. Now, if you don't know what's going on here, Billy Corgan's dad was a traveling musician and always visited the East Coast. And Billy Corgan found out that his dad had multiple families on the East Coast, and his mom said, you know, that Bill Burr guy might be your stepbrother.
Oh, no kidding.
And so it kind of blew up on the internet, and everyone's like, prove it. Like, I mean, it's got to be easy.
I can see
DNA test or look for a picture of your dad.
Yeah, thank you. Or ask your mom, I guess, if you really want to get uncomfortable. That'd be an awkward conversation.
Yeah, but I don't think you... Hey, look, I brought him with you.
I know, right?
They're all celebrities.
Yeah, right.
It looks like 17 Louisiana state legislators are threatening to pull funding from the Superdome if this year's Super Bowl halftime show featuring Kendrick Lamar is not, quote, family-friendly. despite the fact that the Superdome has no control over its production. In a letter to Louisiana Stadium and Exposition District of the Greater New Orleans Sports and Foundation, lawmakers cited past halftime performances by J-Lo, Janet Jackson, and Rihanna as examples of inappropriate context, arguing the taxpayer dollars should not support smut.
Wow.
So we'll see how that turns out,
exercising their purse strings there a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Won't matter.
No.
It won't matter.
It's
one
still
going to
go on.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be twerking going on at halftime.
And on the field.
and on the field, potentially.
Well, they all bend over for the snap.
Oh, God. Yeah, maybe, Carl.
A woman was arrested in Oklahoma City after allegedly attempting to set a man's oxygen tank on fire at a senior center. The police arrived shortly after. Witnesses described a chaotic scene where the woman reportedly became upset, accusing the victim of stealing her mother's phone and escalating the situation when he asked her to calm down. Speaking of what we just spoke about, the woman allegedly tried to ignite the oxygen tank while it was connected to the man's breathing tubes, but he quickly detached them. She then slammed the tank on the ground and attempted to set a trash can on fire. The woman also reportedly brandished a 10-inch knife and made slashing motions at the victim.
That's almost as dumb as going outside and lighting a cigarette while having your oxygen on. You know, that's just not a smart situation.
This seems a squoosh worse.
Well, there's a little more intentionality on this, but it's just
that is
stupid.
True.
For sure. All right, Ethan. Thank you.
Yep.
I appreciate that. Coming up, Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt joins me live at the top of the hour. We'll talk about the RFK and Kash Patel nomination hearings that start today and go through tomorrow. We'll be back with Senator Schmidt at about 7:08. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.